I get a lot of questions when it comes to my self-publishing experience. In fact, quite a bit of it's been chronicled not only on this podcast, but on my YouTube channel, but I don't really go too personal. I don't talk about some of the more finite details unless you find any number of interviews that I do online or through podcasts or on YouTube. Today, we're going to talk about how I started my self-publishing business and some of the lessons I learned pretty early on. So if you want to learn more about that, make sure you stay tuned to today's podcast.
Learn how to publish profitable books and build an unstoppable author brand with indie author and self-publishing coach, Dale L. Roberts. This is the Self-Publishing with Dale podcast.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Findaway Voices, the audiobook distributors reaching over 30 different audiobook platforms. Folks, I just visited their headquarters this past week, and phenomenal. Actually, the last I knew their count was at 32. And speaking to the head of the Findaway Voices, they have even more that's going to be added to the platform. This is insane. This is one of the most lucrative opportunities when it comes to audiobook distribution. And you don't want to sleep on this because, I mean, you can reach Audible and Amazon. You can reach Apple. You can reach Google, Scribd, Overdrive, so much more. And for those of you that are on a tight budget and you're kind of going, oh man, I can't quite afford a good narrator, consider their latest feature in the Voices Share program. Produce your audiobook for half the price in exchange for sharing 20% of your royalties with the narrator. It's not bad, folks. When starting a new project, you'll see the Voices Share option in application form. You get to review narrators, see cost estimates, and get auditions for your project at no extra cost. That's right, zero cost. Sign up today at findawayvoices.com/Dale. I'm going to tell you that I am right now in the midst of putting a lot of the content, some of my audiobooks that I have exclusive rights to, I'm switching them to non-exclusive so I can switch them over to Findaway Voices. So it's not that I'm just getting sponsored by Findaway Voices. I actually walk the walk, talk the talk. I'm heading on over to that direction. I highly recommend you do so as well. Today, we're going to be talking about my self-publishing story, and this is a very interesting one. Let's start it out with the problem. I always like to start it out with the problem because there's always a problem. Why do we want to hear about my stinking story? Why do we want to hear how I started a self-publishing business anyway? I think what people assume of me is way different than the reality. A lot of people assume that, like, oh, you know, he was an overnight success. Oh, he was able to do this no problem. Oh, he had a YouTube channel, and so maybe he became popular through that. Sadly, folks, that's furthest from the truth. It didn't really start this YouTube channel until I was about 2 years into this business. But I don't want to put the cart in front of the horse because we want to kind of talk about exactly what brought me into this business. And some of you have probably heard this story, and I want to share it with you. I don't want to bloviate too long because I feel weird sharing, like, you know, me. It's like, me. No, that's just not my style. So I'm going to try to be as brief as possible. My whole journey started in 2013. I actually was working in the healthcare industry for about 20 years as an activities director. Folks, I got paid to play. I got paid to play in assisted living communities, retirement communities, nursing centers, so on and so forth. And it was a wonderful job. But I always felt like there was something more because ever since I was a kid, I always wanted to be a writer. And I even went to college and dropped out from it for writing. I wanted to go into journalism and just eventually just gave up. And thankfully, this came back around to me in 2013. I had a corporate wellness coach, and I'm a big believer when it comes to health and fitness. And boy, I can do a whole podcast just on health and fitness alone. I was a tough nut to crack. I really couldn't, you know, she would say, okay, try this type of a physical challenge, or try to track your food for X amount of days. And eventually we were on a phone call, and she just said, you know what you should do? You're so passionate about this. Why don't you write a book about it? And I was like, yeah, you know what? I should. And I spent probably about a year writing this book. And during that process, I just kind of just dabbled. I looked around online about self-publishing. And in my mind, this is the reality for me. In my mind, I was thinking, well, looks like I'm going to have to probably buy a garage full of books. And, you know, I was making a moderate living. I mean, I had enough that I could probably purchase a garage full of books. I wasn't aware of this modern-day self-publishing model. I knew that there was Kindle out there, but I didn't know about Kindle Direct Publishing, none of this other stuff. So I just kind of was like, okay, you know, I'll go see if I can find a local print shop, and I did. And I had some good connections out in Arizona that I was able to go in and actually get a proof copy printed out. And I saw it in my hands, and I tell you, I was so proud of this. I was like, oh, this is going to be real. I'm going to become a best-selling author, and all I need to do is just give myself a pallet of books. But the reality kind of came in, and it strikes in a very unique form because I've got a beautiful wife who literally has no filter on her, and if you ever want to know where she stands on things, you just ask her. She'll just tell you straight up, and she told me straight up, do you really think you should be spending thousands of dollars on this book? And I was just like, no, I probably shouldn't. And, you know, so then I'm just kind of looking at options. Okay, is there some way that I can just maybe just get like 10, maybe 20 of these things published off and just kind of keep them on hand, maybe do a couple trade shows, give out some to friends and family? And I just did a little research and I just looked through various, you know, things, and everything was just in the hundreds to thousands. And then I stumbled on something called CreateSpace. Now, some of you might be familiar with the CreateSpace, you know, Amazon-owned CreateSpace, which is more recently merged with Amazon Kindle Direct Publishing. And they were the print-on-demand option that printed books. They did CDs, DVDs, streaming video, things like that. And I thought at first it was a scam. I'm like, what is this? Is this a scam? I'm just going to publish things and it's going to show up on Amazon? What? What's the catch? And the more I saw it, the more I realized, no, this is legit. We're going into a new age. And this is where I became so excited. In fact, so much so that as soon as I was done writing my book, I went ahead and I published in early 2014. Folks, I didn't even have an editor. I thought, you know, let's just go ahead. I've read it numerous times. It's perfect. It's great. Yeah, no. Folks, I'm going to share you some things and the lessons learned, but I'm going to give you a spoiler alert on this one. Editing your own book can only get you so far. Make sure that you're getting people to help you out. And my first book was not the greatest in the world, and it did end up getting edited, but yeah, in any event. So I go ahead and I published that in 2014, and I was blown away to get my first paycheck, and it was a whopping like $23 and some odd cents. And it was enough of a proof of concept to me that I said, if I can take the same passion and energy that I put into my job, in my 9-to-5 job, what would happen? What could happen that I could just become my own boss? And thankfully at the time, my wife Kelly was running her own Amazon FBA business, and I was kind of like her part-time helper. And so I thought, well, there's at least a little bit of a safety net. And I had some savings backed up, you know, and so I'm like, you know what, let's do this. I put in my 30-day notice, which absolutely shocked my employers. They were like, oh my gosh, is everything okay? Like, is there anything we can talk out of it? I'm like, not really. My heart was feeling this. Like, I just knew I wanted to do this. And yeah, I put in that notice. And I think my last day was August the 30th. Maybe right around there, of 2014. And other than probably visiting the work for like a few days to, you know, do orientation during the first portion of September of 2014, that was it. No boss. No more like job. I didn't have to punch in or anything else like that. I helped out Kelly with her Amazon FBA business. It was a blast, by the way. And then I started to become officially a writer. But I'm going to tell you, folks, and you've probably heard this enough times, that my first 2 years sucked. It absolutely sucked. It humbled me really quick. It made me realize that I don't know everything. And I continue to put myself into that position of understanding that I don't know everything. If there's one lesson that you're going to learn, and I'm going to share some lessons learned as well from my self-publishing experience, what you probably should start to think about, is always be learning. Become a student in this game, and you're going to be forever a student in this game, because you can never be an expert. I sometimes am referred to as an expert, and sometimes I take that title. But I'll be honest with you, I'm still a student. I still want to learn. I still want to be better. And so that was for 2 years, really, really stuck until I got that breakthrough. And I believe it was December of 2015 to January 2016. Some of you might have heard that little bit of a story where it was a little bit of a bittersweet portion of my life to where I started to realize some best practices were falling to the wayside in honor of the almighty dollar. And I learned real quick that, you know, there's no easy button in this business. There's no shortcut that isn't going to end up cutting you off at the knees. And so with all that being said, I want to kind of share some things, and hopefully you can kind of implement this in your business as well. And full disclosure, I'm going to say this. This is not legal advice or tax advice. Okay? This is not legal advice or tax advice. I'm going to tell you my personal situation. And it's up to you to kind of discern what's going to be right for you and what's not right for you. And what I would recommend based on what it is, contact a legal professional or a certified public accountant. That way you've got a better idea as to what's going to fit for you based on where you're at in the world and in your life. All right, I have to kind of get all that one out of the way so that way people aren't going, but Dale said, some of these things are going to fit for you and some things probably won't. So lesson number one, file your businesses only with a proof of concept. Now, see, early on, I decided to go ahead and file my LLC over in Arizona. It ran me about $60. It wasn't such a big deal. The problem was that maybe at that time, I was making less than $100 per month when it came to the print books and ebooks, because I hadn't even touched audiobooks by that point. I decided, you know what, let's go ahead. We're going to do a business because I wanted to cover my assets. I wanted to get it to where people, you know, with a fitness book of some sort, they weren't like twisting their ankle and then deciding to sue me. So in all likelihood, they could still sue me, but nonetheless, at least have the limited liability corporation, and it is the assets of the LLC and not so much as Dale Roberts, the person. So that was my thought behind it. But the issue was, I hardly was making enough money to justify that expense. And at the end of the day, I was still the sole proprietor of that specific business LLC. So it wasn't like it was going to be safeguarding me any more than if I were to go without. So if I were to redo it again, I would say that I wouldn't be investing so much into the LLC, and I would probably be investing more in getting good content out. Now, the rest of these lessons learned is going to kind of tie back into this, and where you can kind of see that the priorities were a little bit out of whack. I was putting the cart in front of the horse. So, lesson number two is where it gets really interesting, because you never want to blindly follow advice. Now, you're probably going, well, yeah, of course, Dale, I'd never blindly follow advice. I was very gullible. I was willing to watch a few YouTube videos, buy a course from somebody who said they were successful, and just say, okay, that makes sense. Let's go ahead and do that. And the thing was, I wasn't doing my own due diligence. I wasn't researching these specific options and making sure that this was a good fit. So, you know, things like I even shared in some of my self-publishing mistakes podcasts, I used to tell you that, you know, hey, look, I did review swapping because I was told, oh, no, it's totally cool. Ignore Amazon. And yeah, it's totally cool. No, it wasn't cool. You know, got me in trouble. You know, go ahead and do bonus books. It's totally cool. We got to confirm. Again, got me in trouble. You know, other things that got me in trouble. The shotgun methodology, the spray and pray. Some people are like, you got to be publishing books in apple cider vinegar. You need to be publishing books in Tai Chi. You need to be publishing books in yoga. You need to be publishing books in paleo. And I just kept chasing after these things because I just was like, well, that makes sense. I should do that. But folks, it just got me all over the place and it got me very little to no results. So you're going to need to make sure that whenever you get advice, and this is even as you're listening to this podcast, I request that you question what I ask you. You know, that I tell you, that I ask of you, that you do what's going to be right by you and also research what's going to be right for you, because you just never know. And I'm always 100% transparent. It's not like I'm telling you guys I'm ever being dishonest, but you're going to find some things that are going to resonate more for you and the direction of your self-publishing business and where you're at, and especially if you're just starting your business. Hence why you hear me say, you know, file an LLC before, if you do it before you do a proof of concept. Well, maybe it doesn't make sense for you. Maybe you're like, okay, maybe I should get the LLC ahead of time. Maybe you had a lawyer that said, absolutely, file your LLC ahead of time. Or maybe you need to get incorporated, you know, things like that. So you're gonna need to do your own research and see what's gonna fit according to your business plans. Lesson number three, discipline of saving and budgeting. Oh my gosh. I've always been terrible with money. Probably until maybe the last few years have I been really good about it. Very, very happy and very proud to tell you that I'm 100% debt-free. I don't fool around. I get credit cards and I only use them, but I only use them as a tool to, you know, get it to where I can get what I need immediately, but then I pay those things off. It's just merely a tool that I just use and discard. So it comes to discipline of saving and budgeting. Some people will make the mistake of, well, I only made $200. I don't have enough to save for myself. I don't care how much you make, how little, how, you know, high, it doesn't matter. Get yourself into the discipline of saving and budgeting. Now, when I say budgeting, you need to start to account for specific expenses, like editing, like getting a cover designer, like maybe even doing marketing and promotion. Think about what's going to be appropriate for those things. And the big one is this, taxes. You're going to have to pay taxes. There's one thing for sure, each and every single one of you that are going to be getting into this business, you should be at least putting off 10% of your earnings in a separate account for taxes. Now, I say 10% at least. I would say 20 to 25% just to be safe. This is where I say go talk to an accountant because they might tell you what's going to be a good amount to set aside. That way, when you're going and doing your yearly taxes, you're reporting your earnings, you're not like getting a bill and going, oh my gosh, and you're not able to cover it. Because I'll tell you, my first year wasn't too terrible. I mean, having to report for 2014 because obviously I still had a 9-to-5 job. When I had to report 2015, it hurt. It hurt. Like I was so used to getting refunds. And then now I was being asked to pay. I was going, oh my God, I don't have that money. Because I was just blindly spending things. I would just spend until it wasn't there. And after a while, you're going to find yourself out of business. So get yourself into the discipline. And I don't care if you got a $20 paycheck and you've already committed to saving 10% of that. Oh, well, $2 it is. We're going to go ahead and we're going to do 10% of that. $2 goes into savings. You get $2,000. Okay, I said I was going to do 10%. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put $200 off to the side. You see what I mean? Get into the practice of just saving and then budget. And then budget. So whatever you have after you've put off for taxes, start to chip that down. Figure out what you're going to be putting out into specific business expenses. Lesson number four, stay focused. I already kind of said, I was told all these different trending things. When I finally got focused, I had a mentor who just pointed me in the right direction. I was like a fire hose spraying everywhere. I wasn't putting out any fires. I was just flapping about, spraying water everywhere, making a mess, and just not getting anything accomplished. And when he actually pointed out to me, why aren't you doing more stuff in fitness? You're crushing it here. Screw all the rest of those things. Focus on your fitness. He was right. As soon as I focused on it, I started just boom. Took off. I was super happy about that. So stay focused, folks. It's hard. As an entrepreneur, I understand we're drowning in opportunity. There's so many opportunities that from time to time can be overwhelming. And then you start to get that fear of missing out. You kind of like, oh man, there's this new app. And they say if I pay $100 in advance, it'll help out my business. And, oh, so-and-so said that I should hire through these ghostwriters instead of writing my own stuff, so I better go over here. And it becomes just a messy business. So just stay focused. And I always say this one, and my boy Anthony Fleischman, big shout out to you, buddy. He quoted me once in saying this, and I say this a lot. It's an old proverb. It says, the man who chases two rabbits gets none. Go after that one. Go after that one and really master that before you start to spread out. I got one more little lesson to attach to when I started my self-publishing business that I want to share with you. It's probably one of the most critical points. And before I do, I want to kind of, you know, remind you folks listening to this podcast, every Saturday at 12 p.m. Eastern Daytime, I'm actually going to be broadcasting via YouTube over at dalelinks.com/live, or you can follow me on twitch.tv/self-publish, but it's not going to be very much longer. We're going to be over on Twitch because starting Monday, September 16th, and every Monday thereafter will be 12 p.m. Eastern Daytime. We're going to be doing the podcast recordings, and you'll get to hear everything 1 week in advance of it actually being released. There's going to be a question and answer before and afterwards. Twitch is a lot of fun. All you got to do is head over to twitch.tv/self-publish. And just as a reminder, it's simple to set up. It's kind of like having a YouTube account. You just set up an account and you follow me over there at self-publish and you turn the notifications on so you don't miss any of the live broadcasts. Or you can help contribute to the channel by subscribing for free with your Amazon Prime. And to actually get a really simple video I have on one of my other channels, go over to dalelinks.com/Twitch Prime and actually show you how to set up your Amazon Prime with your Twitch account, and you can subscribe for free. It's one of the greatest ways to kind of give back, and you don't have to spend a dime. It's one of the nicest things. So, all right. So lesson number five done is better than perfect, except if you're doing it alone. For my first year, I was hard pressed to hire anybody out. I did all my own covers, I did all my own interiors, I did everything, but the problem is, it was a lot of time wasted. I wasted a ton of time when I could have just hired out a good graphic designer for my covers, which I did. I think probably I started getting used to that because I got hooked on a few cover designers over on Fiverr, but then I still was like, oh, I can do my own covers. I can do my own interior formatting. I can do my own editing. The problem is, folks, done is better than perfect is not applicable to that, okay? If you're doing it yourself, I get it. I totally understand. At least build yourself a network of people that can keep you grounded. I'm thankful that I have an in-house mastermind with my wife, to which I can kind of bounce ideas off her, and she can kind of go, meh. And other times she goes, well, that's brilliant. But even then, when I started to network with other people within this industry, I was able to bounce ideas off them and maybe get them to read manuscripts and give some feedback. Even get some recommendations on some cost-effective cover designers that would do far better job than me, and I get better results. So yeah, done is better than perfect for sure. Unless you're doing it on your own. And don't do it on your own. At least build a network of professionals that you can kind of work together, lock arms, race to the finish line together. And that's one of the most important things that I learned the hard way in my first year of business, when I started to really understand that networking is the key to unlocking the success in your business. It has been incredible. So I just implore you, you hear my story. What's your story? I want you to kind of think of what your story is. Think about that interview that you're going to have on a podcast or maybe on a YouTube channel. Tell your story to yourself. Say it out loud. Hear how it feels. What are some of the lessons that you learned in that process? Did you learn some of the lessons that I did? Or did you have some other ones that were even more critical in your specific self-publishing journey? Or if you're brand new to it, hopefully you'll learn some things, not quite the hard way as I did, if you just implement some of these things. As we start to wrap up today's podcast, I want to thank Findaway Voices for their sponsorship. They have been nothing short of phenomenal. I really, really do appreciate that team out there. Big shout out to Will Degas. Will's the head of Find a Way Voices, and he's just fantastic individual. I highly recommend folks get yourself an account set up over at findawayvoices.com/Dale as soon as humanly possible. And in the meantime, join me next week. We're going to be doing episode number 22. It's crazy to think that we've been doing it this many weeks in a row, and every Monday you'll be firing off to every podcast platform. And if you're following me or subscribe to me anywhere, I would even recommend you go over to Apple Podcasts, subscribe to me at Self-Publishing with Dale, and make sure that you leave a little kind review if you wouldn't mind. In the meantime and in between time, this has been Self-Publishing with Dale, and I will talk to you soon.
You've been listening to the Self-Publishing with Dale podcast. Visit us at selfpublishingwithdale.com for more information on how you can level up your publishing business. Also, get a rock-solid action plan for your next book launch when you sign up for our email newsletter at selfpublishingwithdale.com/checklist. If you enjoyed the show, please consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.